All right. Good afternoon to wherever you may be watching this afternoon. I hope that you may be blessed by what I'm about to share. You know, I'm beginning to sound like a broken record saying how unfortunate it is to be back in lockdown. I just want to take a moment, you know, to acknowledge that it is painful and it does hurt and it does suck, but we are in this together. It is hard. Like, I planned a whole sermon that I was going to do this week with all of you, and I was going to make it interactive and discuss it, but I've had to change my whole sermon yesterday. And it is annoying and it is frustrating. I mean, even next week, we were meant to go on a ski camp with the whole youth in Victoria, and we were really looking forward to that. Now, unfortunately, we can't, and it is tremendously painful at times. And so I just want to acknowledge that reality. And we may be feeling all sorts of feelings, and those are very valid feelings right now. I just want to encourage you to take time to pray and to be honest with God. 1 Peter 5:7 reminds us, you know, cast your cares to him, or cast your burdens to him, because he cares for you. You know, the big things, the small things, and everything in between, God cares about all of that in our life. And so I want to encourage you this week to be honest in your prayers. God can handle what you're going through, so be honest with him. You know, the Psalms, they're an honest reflection on the reality of life. It's the psalmist being real with God. So I want to encourage you, whatever pain you may be feeling, go to God with that pain. And so today I just want to take a moment to reflect on some words that Jesus shared in the book of Luke. And it gives us a snapshot of what the peace Jesus offers us looks like. In this little story that we're going to read, which is in Luke chapter 10, we see that Martha, she's worried about many things, and we too can be worried about many things. Many things are clamoring for our attention. But when we can focus on the one thing being Jesus, it starts to sort everything out. And so if you have your Bible there, Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, if you don't have your Bible with you, don't worry, it will come up on the screen in just a sec. But let me read. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" I don't know about you, but I can relate to Martha. Not that I'm good at cooking or good at house chores or any of the domestic domain, but I'm like Martha in my distraction. You know, maybe you're like Martha too. We're awesome at being stressed, at filling our schedule and running on over busy and being worried about many different things. There are many things clamoring for my attention each and every day. My phone is one of the biggest distractions that I face on a constant daily battle. You know, we can wake up in the morning and I've got text messages to check, I've got Facebook messages to check, I've got Instagram to check, I've got emails to check. I can do all these things before even interacting with another human being. It's constantly vying for my attention. And then throughout the day, many other distractions might pop up and come out of everywhere vying for my attention, distracting me from what's really important. Life comes fast and furious. The culture in which we live in is just stress, worry, overload, and busyness. And you know, we live in a culture where communication is front and center, and it's very easy to communicate because we have our phones. But you know, it also hinders us because, you know, I take more than 5 minutes to respond to a friend and they're like, "Are we even friends anymore? You've taken 7 minutes to reply." You know, there's many things vying for my attention. And what I like to call is the many things syndrome. We have many things vying for our attention, vying for our thoughts, pulling us away. And in this little passage we just read, Jesus told Martha she was worried and troubled about many things, but that somehow Mary had discovered the one thing that was needed. Martha was troubled about many things because She wasn't focused on the one thing. And I love that little thought there. You know, we can be worried about many things, but are we concerned about that one thing? If Martha could learn to give that one thing its proper place and its priority, the many things can take care of themselves. But it's so easy. It is so easy to live with the many things syndrome. Our life is a constant battle of many things. You know, our lives are full. Eating, working, sleeping, they're all a key part. But then between the eating, the working, the sleeping, there's, you know, events to attend to. There's birthday parties to go to. There's presentations to be had. There's chores to be done at home. There's shopping that needs to get done. There's even car repairs. There's graduation ceremonies. The list just piles on and on and on. And you know, now that we're in lockdown, Zoom meeting upon Zoom meeting, phone call after phone call, text message after text message. And then we get out of lockdown and we have to quickly cram everything in. And you know, we find ourselves double booking, triple booking ourselves. You know, we can message our friends trying to organize a catch up and it seems nothing lines up. And so it's like, hey, I'll see you in 37 years because that's when our schedules finally line up. There are many things vying for our attention and trying to take our time. And you know, our heroes are the ones that can seamlessly balance everything. They can juggle all the balls, keep all the plates spinning. They are the successful people. And so we admire them and try to emulate them and wonder how do they do it. And so we try to be productive with our time. We have our AirPods in as we drive so that we can make phone calls or so that we can listen to that podcast about how to maximize our hours. And we're just constantly filling our brains and our time with stuff and we get home and wonder why we have a headache. But you know what? A lot of what we do in life is actually good and can be fun and can be enjoyable if we actually slow down to enjoy it. Life is awesome, but sometimes we are operating so fast and moving about so fast that we actually forget to enjoy it. Or maybe there's situations and circumstances beyond our control that have hindered us from actually enjoying life. And this peace that Jesus offers us in this passage is not elusive, but rather, you know, the circumstances have stopped you from experiencing the peace of Jesus. Life for you has been a succession of storms that has left you weary and burdened. I don't know what the many things are, but I can promise you that Jesus does. And he wants to give each of us peace with ourselves and with him that will change us forever. And so I just want to take a closer look at that story we just read earlier. You know, when I first hear the words of Martha, I get Martha. I resonate with Martha. You know, Martha is a hard worker. She's sharing her share of the load. Martha is getting things done. Martha is a queen of this house. But Mary's a slacker. Mary's a freeloader. She's just sitting around, lounging around while there's work to be done. And notice, what Martha is doing isn't wrong. In fact, she is doing exactly what's expected of her. See, Martha is the oldest sister, and so she is in charge of looking out of the orders and the affairs of the household. And in this culture, she's expected to create an environment that is hospitable for her guests so that they have a good time. And so in this story, we see that she's being a good host. She's doing exactly what she's supposed to be doing. And here, I think what Jesus is saying is that what we are expected to be doing is not necessarily what God wants us to be doing. Jesus seems to be implying, I know what you're doing. I know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, but sometimes you need to stop doing and just be with me. Martha is doing the best she can. She's doing what she knows she needs to do. And sometimes we'll often say, you know, just do your best and God will do the rest. But sometimes it's not about doing anything. Sometimes it's about simply being with Jesus, being in his presence, enjoying his company, having peace with God himself. And I love the contrast that we see in this story. Martha is upset because Mary is distracted from her responsibilities by Jesus. But Martha is distracted from Jesus by her responsibilities. And so often in my life, I can be distracted from Jesus because of the work I'm doing. And it's so easy in ministry to be, I'm doing the Lord's work. It's okay, it's okay. But then I never spend that time with Jesus and I feel it. And it's hard. So what's distracting you? Are you focused on Jesus or are you focused on your responsibilities? And I think Jesus is making a profound point here. You know, what we are distracted by says a lot about our value system. There are many things clamoring for our attention. What distracts us? What holds our focus? What grabs our attention? Is it our to-do lists? Is it our unanswered text messages and voicemails and emails and that Netflix series that we need to watch? Or is it Jesus? You know, and busyness can make us feel important. It makes us feel needed. It feels like, you know, I'm important and I get things done. You know, someone has to be the responsible one. Someone has to be the organizer. It feels good to seemingly hold that universe together by being busy and getting things done. But sometimes we just need to be in the presence of Jesus. We need to put aside time and just simply be. Don't get me wrong, responsibility and hard work are important. Planning ahead and taking ownership are important. But if we don't have that one thing in place, the many things will consume us. Like Martha, we'll find ourselves worried and troubled about many things. And see, we can't cure that many things syndrome on our own. We can't just quiet ourselves and discipline ourselves. I know because I've tried. And maybe you have as well. Maybe you try to carve out some time in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening. And you decide, yes, I'm going to just pray and I'm just going to try and spend time with God. And you finally find a moment to put the kids away, to put the work away. And you sit down and you start to pray. And a few minutes in, you just start to get all these thoughts that come up like, oh, I've got to get milk. I've got to do this email and I've got to get that project done. And all these thoughts start to fill your head. And you know what started out as praying with God has filled into a to-do list for later in the day. What do we do about this? How do we overcome this? What's the answer? It's not by ignoring our projects and responsibilities. It's not by selling everything and moving into the bush, as nice as that would be. The problem isn't that we have a lot going on. Rather, it's the attitudes these things produce in us. Busyness, urgency, anxiety, worry, and stress. But God gives us an antidote. He gives us a solution. It's the peace that God gives. When we have God's peace, the remaining priorities fall into place. We see more clearly. We discern what is important, what is urgent, what is necessary, and what is distracting. The key to handling the distractions of life is to focus on Jesus himself. It is to sit at his feet like Mary did. It is to hear his heart, to know his love, and to understand his priorities. And so I want to encourage you this week to find some time in your morning, to find some time in your afternoon, to simply just be at the feet of Jesus. You know, for me, it's when I go on a walk. You know, it's so easy to just be distracted by podcasts and audiobooks and music, but my walk time, I need to make intentional and be with Jesus. That is my time, out in nature, out with him. And I tell you what, it sets me up for the rest of the day. And I know when I don't, my priorities fall out of place. I feel worried and anxious and my mind is wandering everywhere. But when I can get that time with Jesus, when I can spend a moment with him, man, it sets the whole day up. And so I want to encourage you, sit at the feet of Jesus, whether it be on a walk, or whether it be at your desk, or whether it be in your car, take a moment to spend time with him. And we'll find that peace that he brings. You know, shortly before Jesus died, he had this conversation with his disciples in the book of John we read. Book of John chapter 14, he gives his disciples a parting gift. This is what he says. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Notice the repetition in that phrase. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. That repetition, that emphasis there, Jesus is making a point. He's telling his disciples, guys, listen up. This is a big deal. You need my peace, and the peace I'm giving to you is available right now. And during this conversation, this whole chapter is a conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. And earlier in this chapter, we learn that Jesus is going back to heaven. And the disciples are upset and disappointed, and they're asking, can they go with Jesus to this place that he's going to? And Jesus tells them, no. But he gives them this gift of peace. And I don't know, if I was one of the disciples, I'd feel a little bit disappointed and disheartened. You know, I've spent 3 years with Jesus. He's my hero, my mentor. I've learned so much, and now he's just leaving, and all he's leaving with me is peace. Can't he offer something a bit more substantial? And it's because, you know, our understanding of peace is at times shallow. I mean, when I say that word peace, what starts coming to your mind? What are you picturing? What's peaceful for you? You know, I start to imagine, you know, the word tranquility. You know, I imagined a soft, calm river, quiet sounds, maybe even a still pond, cabin in the woods where you have a good book and it's just yourself, and maybe even a canoe so you can paddle on that pond. Maybe it's happy thoughts, happy feelings, lack of conflict, lack of activity, calmness. What comes to your mind when you hear the word peace? But notice in this passage, Jesus says, I give not as the world gives. In other words, this is not the typical peace that people imagine. The peace Jesus gives is far more substantial and effective and active than this world's peace. This peace, it is deep, profound, and lasting. It stays with us regardless of our external circumstances. It is more real and powerful than the ups and downs of life. In his teaching, Jesus is referring to an incredibly important Hebrew word, shalom, or shalom, depending on, it's probably another, otherwise you could pronounce it too. But we have no English equivalent. Peace is the best translation we can come up with. But it doesn't even do justice to the idea of shalom. And maybe you've heard this word. Maybe you've heard it on The Chosen. Maybe you've heard it shared in church or with other Christian friends. And often it's used as a greeting or a farewell. But it's an extraordinarily deep and profound concept in the Hebrew language. Shalom means tranquility and peace, but it also means wholeness and soundness and completeness and prosperity and health. It goes far beyond just a warm sensation in your heart. It refers to complete, comprehensive well-being. What a word. And see, God's peace, God's shalom is first and foremost peace with him. It is internal spiritual wellness that is the foundation for peace in every other area of our lives. See, when we have peace with God, we are able to have peace with ourselves, peace with other people, and peace even in the ups and downs with life. No matter what's thrown at us, we find that we can have this thing that isn't based on external circumstances. Peace isn't just when my life is going well. Peace is found in the midst of hardship. It's important that that we realize when Jesus is having this conversation with his disciples, he's leaving a theological statement with them. He's not just saying, peace out, guys, I'm out of here. But no, Jesus is giving them a whole new way of relating to God. See, the disciples had been raised under the terms of the old covenant, and shalom was never present unless there is righteousness. Peace came from keeping the law. And see, God had given them a list of laws and regulations in order to live a life that brought peace with him and with others. And if mankind failed to follow these rules, peace was broken. And this is a big problem because we often read in the Old Testament that the Israelites weren't very good at keeping the law. But neither are we. We are no good at it either. And see, Israel related to God based on a system of sacrifices, rituals, and laws. It was temporary and an insufficient solution that couldn't fully restore peace between God and humanity. But God promised, and throughout the scriptures we read it time and time and time again, that he would make a covenant of peace with his people. One day, peace would be restored. One instance where we read that is Isaiah chapter 54. It says this, "For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed." And back to that conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. He's telling them, peace has arrived. They could have peace with God, peace in life, not through keeping the law, but through Jesus himself. And see, it's impossible to expand on the significance of this truth. Peace, that essential, elusive, universal need of mankind, is restored to us in the person of Jesus himself. The commandments couldn't save us, they didn't save us, and they won't save us. We trust in Jesus, who did what we could not do for ourselves. Our trust is completely in him, not in our conduct, not in our qualifications, not in our background, not in our performance. We find our peace in his performance and his perfection. The law has been fulfilled. The case has been closed. Our righteousness is established. Peace is restored. Jesus is the way to peace with God. And this is not just a temporary peace based on circumstance. It's not peace that's around only as long as good behavior is around, but it's eternal, profound, life-altering peace. And that is God's gift to us, a gift that we can't earn, a gift that we don't deserve, but a gift that is freely given to us. Peace with God and peace with others because of Jesus himself. In Psalm 85, there's another profound statement, an interesting one. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. What an interesting statement. And the Psalms, they were originally songs. And so the Israelites would worship to these songs in the Psalms. But you know, this phrase, this passage here, this mercy and truth have met together, peace and righteousness have kissed. It's sort of like an indie song. You know, the lyrics were catchy, but ambiguous. What did this all mean? How did mercy and truth meet together? Mercy is fuzzy and messy and emotional, whereas truth was hard and factual. Truth analyzes our failures and demands justice. Truth, it seems, has no room for mercy. They are opposites, enemies, opponents in the ring. But here we read that they meet together. How is this possible? Jesus is the answer to this. He brings them together in himself. Jesus is the embodiment of truth, of mercy, of righteousness, and of peace. Jesus is the living personification of righteousness and peace. Without Jesus, we have no righteousness and therefore no shalom. But through him, we can enjoy true peace. It is his gift to us. We have peace with God. We have peace in life. We can experience the abundance and wholeness and completeness that God created us to enjoy. The answer to our many worries, the feelings of anxiety, worry, guilt, shame, distraction, is the peace that comes through Jesus himself. Remember what Jesus said to Martha. "You are worried about many things." Well, of course Martha was. There was lots to be worried about. She was a good Israelite. The hallmark of their existence was that they wanted to please God, and so they were concerned about fulfilling the laws, the rules, the expectations. Not only did they had the law, but they had rules around the law, and so it was all about keeping it. And Jesus shows up and says, "I'm changing everything. I don't want you to live a busy, worried, anxious, and fearful life. I'm ushering in a new era. Well, you just need to be focused and worried about one thing, me. Just enjoy me, because in me, righteousness and peace have kissed. Mercy and truth have met together. I can do for you what 1,500 years of adhering to the law could not do. Sit down and listen to me. That sounds too good to be true because we like to do things. We want to earn things. But Jesus just says, sit with me. Busyness and distraction. We face it every single day. Many things clamoring for our attention, our time. But I read here, when peace is available to me through Jesus himself, life can be different. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so we are righteous through our faith in Jesus. We have peace because of our faith in Jesus. Righteousness and peace go together. If we are righteous, we have peace. And if we have peace, it's because we are righteous, because we are in right standing with God because of what Jesus has done. It's not one or the other. I don't know about you, but I read that passage and I don't feel very kissable. I don't feel like I deserve to be kissed by God, to show that grace and that mercy by God. I've messed up countless times, but I'm righteous. I have that peace. How? Through Jesus, through the grace he offers. In Luke chapter 15, we read of the prodigal son and we read that he returns home and we see that the father runs to him. And what does the father do? The father runs to him, hugs him and kisses him. Not because of what he had done. He kissed him despite what he had done. It's the mercy, it's the grace, it's the truth, it's what God shows to us. And that picture we see there in Luke 15 is a picture of a new era, a new way of relating to God, one in which his acceptance, his favor, his peace, his blessing, and his love is thrown on us despite our performance and despite our waywardness. We are continually kissed, we are continually shown truth and mercy and grace and love because Jesus is our peace. And so I want to encourage you, don't be worried about the many things. Fixate on the one thing. Sit at the feet of Jesus, wherever that may be in your life. Carve out some time in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Simply just be. Open up a prayer just saying, God, I'm here. Be with me now. And you will find that the many things will find their place when you can focus on the one thing. So church, let me just pray for you. Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you that we can still be together online, virtually, that we can come to scripture and that we can learn from you about your love, your grace, your goodness. And I pray for each and every person watching that we can learn to sit at the feet of you, that we can learn your ways, your rhythms, about how to be in this world. And I pray over each and every person that whatever worry, whatever anxiety, whatever burden they may be carrying, that they can bring it to you and they can feel your healing power. They can feel your love, your grace, and your goodness in their lives. Help us to experience that. Help us to live that out. Help us to show it to others. We thank you for everything you've done and everything you're going to do. Pray that you are with each and every person in our church. May they experience your love and your grace in a profound way this week. Speak to us. We pray in your name. Amen. So I hope that you were blessed by today's service. I want to encourage you again, spend some time at the feet of Jesus. Have an amazing week. If you need someone to talk to me. I'm here. We're here for you. We're going to get through this together. So have an amazing week. Rest well this Sabbath afternoon, and we will see you soon. Take care, church.